If you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to a short reading over in the book of Romans. Book of Romans and the chapter 8. Could I thank Dr. Paisley for his kind words of welcome to the pulpit this evening? It is indeed an honour and a privilege to stand in this pulpit and to share with you a word of testimony. And certainly, I'm a second generation Free Presbyterian, if you like. Mum and Dad were both in their late teens, members of the old Raven Hill Church. And indeed, Dr. Paisley conducted the marriage ceremony for my mum, my dad, in 69. It certainly is a privilege to be here this evening and to share what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. The book of Romans chapter 8, I want to read a few short verses if I can. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, first of all. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you skip on down then to verse 37. Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And God will bless the public reading of his word. Well, as you've probably guessed already, I was born into a Christian home. I said Mum and Dad both were Free Presbyterians. However, they answered the call of God to be missionaries over in the land of Papua New Guinea. So it was actually while they were in missionary training over in America that I came along in 1970. I then had a brother came along in Canada. Another brother came along back here in Northern Ireland in 1975. And a sister came along a few years later over in Papua New Guinea. So we're very much a cosmopolitan family. But as you can imagine, being brought up in a missionary environment, right from an early age, I was taught the things of the Lord. I was taught of my need of a Savior. We were brought up on Bible stories. And even just being in that environment, looking back now, it was a tremendous example to have two parents who were willing to leave friends and family back here in the province and travel out to Papua New Guinea and be missionaries. And I often look back now and see that as a great example and a challenge even to my own life. And it was at a very young age, at the age of 6, I recall getting down beside my bed one night and in simple childlike faith just asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to save me and to make me right for heaven. And indeed God does save and can save even young boys and girls at that age. And while I certainly believe that is when I became a Christian, was converted, obviously at that age you don't fully understand or fully appreciate everything that's involved with being a Christian. And we come back to the province here in 1979. I went into secondary school the year after. And there was probably a period of 3 or 4 years where I certainly wasn't living or walking the way I should. Outwardly, I was the minister's son. We went along to the prayer meeting. I probably dragged along the prayer meeting at that age. I went to the youth fellowship, went to the children's meetings in the church and Sunday school. And outwardly, everyone saw me as the minister's son. But I knew in my heart of hearts, I knew at night when I put my head in the pillow, that I certainly wasn't living as a Christian should live. Perhaps didn't get involved in some of the outward sins, perhaps even at school I was known as the Christian. But I knew myself that when I took this Bible down and read it, it was a dry book. There was no message in it. And I used to hear speakers and hear testimonies of people who would have fellowship with God and commune with God. And I used to get the Bible down, but it was a dead book. And my father got the call down to the Clocker Valley in the mid-80s. And I can remember him asking me one night on the stairs, and he said, I've got a call to the Clocker Valley, what do you think? And straight away I said to him, you should go. Because I had in my mind that if I got away from the environment I was in with the friends I had in school, maybe turned over a new leaf down the Clocker Valley, then things would be okay. But you know, it wasn't just turning over a new leaf I needed. It was to get back to the Lord, it was to give my heart back to him, and get it back into a close walk with him. And it was in 1986, there was a mission by Reverend David Fletcher in the Clocker Valley. And on the Monday night, he spoke on Lot's wife. And I can recall being under conviction that night as I sat in the church. I went to speak to Mr. Fletcher afterwards in the minister's room. I explained to him that I believe that I had become a Christian at a young age. I believe that God had worked in my heart, but I knew I was far from him. I knew I was not walking the way I should walk, and I certainly wasn't growing as a Christian. And he turned me over to that passage in John chapter 6, verse 37, that him that all the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And I can recall getting an assurance that night, and just a blessing and a peace, that indeed if we as sinners and even as backsliders come back to God, confess our sins and seek to get right with him, then he will never cast us out. And I was able to take that verse and make it my verse and rest upon that promise. My main sort of passion right through school and on into later life and working life is in sport. I've been involved in playing and coaching and managing in the Irish League now for about over 20 odd years. And that's certainly an environment that I've enjoyed. I currently hold what's called a UEFA A license, which allows coaching throughout Europe. And I've certainly enjoyed involvement in that. And even just being involved in sport at a high level has given many opportunities over the last number of years. I think particularly just 2 years ago when there was a game played on a Sunday between Glentoran and Bangor. It was very disappointing to a number of us Christians who were involved in the Irish League that rule would be changed to allow Sunday sport. And I, along with other players and people who had been involved in football, went to the Oval that Sunday afternoon. Our church held a protest. And we stood there on the way in as people that we knew, managers we knew, pressmen we knew, walked past on the way into the Oval. And we were able just to stand outside and identify ourselves with God's people and saying we would not be taking part or encourage or condone the playing of football on a Sunday. And that's certainly been an opportunity we've had. And indeed, a week or so later, we had over 50 evangelical Christians who were involved in Irish League football put their name to a statement that was carried in the newsletter. It was mentioned on the front page, and then later on the paper carried the full statement of over 50 evangelical Christians involved in Irish League football calling upon the governing body to refrain from this trend of playing football on a Sunday. Another opportunity of being involved in sport is in working with young people. Along with one of your members here, Gary Craig, every year we are involved in reaching over 100 young people every day over a period of a week who come along for various sports. And then our brother Gary, the last number of years, has had a challenge time with them and able to present the gospel. And again, being involved in sport allows you to reach young people just at that level. Back in 1988, I actually joined the Territorial Army and probably for a few years had the normal jibes and jokes associated with being involved in the TA, been called toy soldiers and all the jibes like that. But little did I think then, in 1988, that some years later we'd have the opportunity to serve Her Majesty and be part of the forces over in Iraq in what was known as the Iraq conflict. But in 2004, we got the call-up to go over to Iraq and be part of the effort there. My own brother had been over in the year before during the war-fighting phase and indeed was present when Colonel Tim Collins made his very famous Eve of Battle speech. But we had an opportunity to go over, and that was certainly an experience of a lifetime, and in my own Christian experience was certainly a milestone in my life. You can probably imagine there were some tough times, some challenging times, some great times of great experiences, and obviously some difficulties. My youngest boy, Caleb, was about 3 weeks old whenever we left to go to Iraq. So for my oldest brother, Joshua, who was about 5 at the time, my wife, Brenda, that was obviously a difficult time for them as I headed off into the unknown. Having to establish my testimony with a whole group of new soldiers was challenging. We had about 30 soldiers here from Northern Ireland, and we were attached to about 60 soldiers from London. So we had an officer's mess, and as would obviously happen in army circles, the recreation is not something that a Christian's going to get involved in. So I had to very definitely, early on in their training, just explain that I wouldn't be going to the pub with them, I wouldn't be watching the things that they would watch in their downtime, and just lay down a marker that I was different, I was a Christian, and that I wasn't prepared to compromise on certain things. And again, that was something that the Lord undertook in those situations. We were in charge of the welfare, second in command of the company. At that stage, I was a captain. And so you can imagine living with 100 soldiers in a very confined environment in a dangerous situation like Iraq, with people being killed around you. There's a lot of pressures, a lot of emotions, a lot of trials that the individual soldiers were going through. And we were very much involved in the welfare of that. And that was certainly a challenging time. Just visiting and seeing Iraq and seeing some of the aftermath of Saddam Hussein and what he had done to the country, again, is something that we'll remember for a long time, the poverty, the destruction, just the wholesale rape of the country that he had carried out, and just seeing so many people literally with the clothes they were wearing is all they had in the world today. And it was certainly contrasted to our culture back here in the province and Western society with our cars and our houses and our materialistic things. Just to see the poverty there was in many parts of Iraq was certainly startling. We had the opportunity to visit some Bible sites. Of course, there's been so much of the Bible, Old Testament particularly, that actually took place on the land that was now called Iraq. Civilization would have started there. Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham was from, was just about an hour to the north of Basra. And we had the opportunity of walking over the ruins of the Ur of the Chaldees. So for someone who's a Christian to be able to walk over the very ground that Abraham probably walked over all those years ago was certainly very, very interesting and something that we'll remember. And of course the prophets and Daniel and Jonah, Nineveh, Queen Esther, that all happened on what is now modern day Iraq. Seeing the repressive Muslim religion at first hand, especially down in Kuwait, is again was something I'll remember. Be able to witness to people. And we had on numerous occasions witnessed to young soldiers. It was interesting the first few months when we were there, they would have told me that they would take their Bibles out, they would tell me they would pray before they go out. But as time went on, and perhaps they had survived a few close calls, towards the end of the tour, there was certainly a hardening towards the gospel. The whole thought of death certainly was not uppermost in their minds as it was during the start of the tour. And that is something that wasn't deemed tragic. I think, however, the biggest memory, of course, would be just a simple truth of the reality of death. And as I just bring this to a testimony, a conclusion, and just to always remind people that, of course, death is something that can happen anywhere. And of course, over there was danger. There was, I think, about 15 British soldiers killed, most of them within about 3 or 4 miles of where we were based. And you would have heard an explosion going off in Basra. Your first thoughts were, is it one of our men? I can recall being in Kuwait one day and seeing on Fox News there'd been an explosion and 3 British soldiers killed. And I can recall lifting mobile phone in Kuwait. I've been down there with some press and dialing up the ops room back in Basra and my hand at least shaking. Thinking I was going to hear that some of our soldiers have been killed. Those sort of occasions obviously will live with you. But death is a reality. And there's one incident I want to just close with, which I think defined my spiritual experience out in the land of Iraq at that stage, and something that has certainly impacted my life since. We had been there about 3 or 4 weeks, and we had our first major incident where a number of soldiers were injured in a landmine. And as part of being the welfare officer the next day, I sat down with a number of them just to assess their mental state, their capacity to see how soon they could go back on to operations. And we had one young lad who was injured with shrapnel in his neck, and he was down in Shaiba Log Base in intensive care, about to be flown back over to Birmingham for emergency surgery. And his partner, who had been standing in the back of the vehicle with him, I was sitting having a cup of tea with. And we were chatting. He was actually a Roman Catholic lad from Londonderry who had been living in London for many, many years. And we were sitting having a chat, and I could see in his eyes just the realization of how close he was to death. And as well as the fear, there was just the gladness in his eyes that he was still alive. And as we chatted about the incident, he turned and he said, "Sir, you're a Christian. How do you explain that I'm sitting here talking to you today?" And he named the other soldier. He said, "How come he is down in intensive care fighting for his life? How do you explain that as a Christian?" And I'll just pause. If someone asked you that question in that environment, I wonder what the answer would be. And I was certainly stumped at first for a couple of seconds. And I thought, well, how do you answer this? Here's a young lad who's just escaped death. And he's asking me from a Christian perspective to explain the situation. And straight away, the Holy Spirit brought that verse that we read earlier to mind, Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And all I could say to the young lad with the Holy Spirit's help was that as a Christian, I believe that God was in control, that everything that happened, happened for a purpose. And that when I went out on operations, or I went out behind the wires, we would call it, that I would just rest in the God's promises, whatever happened, would believe it was for his glory. And if something was to happen to me and I got injured or worse, well, I could rest assured that it was part of God's plan for my life, because I was a believer, that he had saved me, and therefore he'll look after me. I remember going back to my room that night and getting the Bible out And that passage became my passage that saw me through the months out there. You know, that's a passage that's got comfort. It's a passage that's got strength. It's got encouragement. And indeed, explanation. Because how do you explain what happens in the world sometimes? How do you explain what happens in your life sometimes? If it's not that God is in control and that as believers we leave everything with Him. The message of this passage, the message of the gospel, the message of this verse is simply that as a Christian, as a believer, you can face all of life's temptations, all of life's trials, all of life's heartaches, its dangers, its disappointments. You can face them all if you're a Christian, if you're saved, and if you're walking with the Lord. And if you're here tonight, you would have to ask you, what is your confidence in? As a believer, we can point, and Paul in this passage talks about his confidence in God's love. Nothing can separate from God's love. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, well, then what are you trusting in? I thank the Lord that through the time in Iraq and just through life's journey, I've experienced a range of emotions, but in different situations, I've certainly had my faith tested. But I thank the Lord that all things do indeed work together for good to them that love God. Amen.
I'm sure we enjoyed those words of testimony. Perhaps in your heart you were challenged. And you were saying, well, if I had been that young soldier shot on the battlefield, what would my hope be for eternity? Well, thank God you can have God's hope in your heart. You can be saved by grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I trust tonight, if you're anxious, you'll come and speak with us after this service and you'll get this matter settled. Eternity, where will you be in eternity?